Welcome to the Level Up English podcast, the best place to come to practice the English language, learn about the British accent and culture, with me, your host, Michael Lavers. Hello once again, and welcome back to the Level Up English podcast with Michael. And today I'm sharing some of my strongest and most controversial opinions. Well, that may not be quite true, actually, but today is all about debating and arguing. So I have a list of topics today that I'm going to be giving my own opinion on and sharing my views on them. And my hope and my plan is that these will be useful for you to listen to, because you can hear some useful phrases for expressing your opinions, debating with friends, or maybe even arguing with your significant other. So, yeah, as I'm sure you can imagine, as I'm sure you know, arguing and debating and sharing opinions, these are really, really important if you want to get to a high level in English. So I hope that I will be sharing some useful phrases while sharing my opinions today. So we'll get to some of these topics in just a second. I should also remind you, though, that if you want to see more from these episodes, you know, maybe you want to get vocabulary lessons and quizzes, you want to practice the vocab we learn more with the vocab lists, you might want to follow the transcripts so you can practice your listening while the words are highlighted on your screen, on your device. And if you want that, this is all available for Level Up English members. We have so much content on the website, I'm sure there will be something there for you. So make sure you check out levelupenglish.school and click on the members button at the top of the page. And hopefully there's something there for you. Many courses, group classes, private podcasts, and much, much more. So once again, go down to your podcast description on your phone or device and click on that Become a Member button. Even just to find out more, you can read more about it, read some reviews, just see what it's like. But really hope to welcome you there and chat with you. We also have a private Telegram. Yeah, Telegram. I forgot the name of the app for a second, but private Telegram group where we could chat over there as well. But anyway, I think we can get right into it. Maybe I will say, I'll just say one more thing. So it's difficult to say because I'm recording this a few weeks in advance, because maybe when this comes out, I might be in China. I've got like a week in China very soon, and I'm trying to record some episodes in advance so I don't miss a week. And at the moment, I'm editing a new video for my YouTube channel. It's something that I don't add to very often. Like, I think the last video I did was like over 6 months ago, maybe. But I try to add videos whenever I'm in the mood. And a recent video I made was about my current study routine here in Bangkok, Thailand. So how I'm learning my languages, what I'm doing to study, and this kind of stuff. And yeah, hopefully it's fun. I was in the mood to make a new video, so I did. And at the moment, I've almost finished the editing, so I plan to upload it soon. But I imagine by the time you're listening to this, you can listen on my YouTube channel. So if you want to watch that video, go to the YouTube channel called English with Michael, and it will be my most recent one, I suppose. But anyway, that's my news for today. Let's get right into it. So the first, actually, I should say, I've got two types of questions. The first section will be kind of general debate and opinion topics. And then the second group of questions are more deep. They're more deeper, the deeper questions, and you know, maybe more interesting too. They're kind of fun ones. So let's ease in, let's warm up with some general questions. And I encourage you to answer yourself. You could speak out loud. You could even write down your answer if you want to, or you can just think about it. But it's kind of fun to see what you would say as well, how you would respond. I'll do my best to give my real opinions here. I'm not going to lie to you. So the first one is technology making us more or less social? Is technology making us more or less social? From my perspective, it is making us more social. I decided right now, I haven't really thought about this until now, but it's a tricky one because, yeah, on the one hand, we are more connected than ever before. I remember when I was younger, we would have a chat with someone, kind of like we'd start a conversation online and then finish the conversation. But these days, we are in eternal conversations. If you start a conversation on, you know, WhatsApp or something, you never say goodbye. It's just a continuous conversation. But I remember when I was a teenager, we would say goodbye and close the software, close the window. So it's kind of weird how that's changed. I think no one's really noticed that change. So yeah, on the one hand, we're more connected than ever before. But on the other hand, you might argue that it's a superficial connection. It's not genuine. It's not real, right? Superficial means on the surface. It's not a very deep connection. If you have a superficial cut, for example, it's not a serious cut. You'll be fine. You know, you're not going to die. So yeah, some people might argue it's more superficial. I would agree in some ways. You know, when you're texting, you're not really sharing your deep emotions. You're not sharing your deep opinions and feelings about stuff. But I still feel like we are more connected and it's easier to hold on to conversations. And I think some people, especially older people, can underestimate the power of a simple text. You know, I think texting isn't nothing, you know, calling is nice and meeting in person is nicer, but even a text to say, hey, I'm just thinking about you, how are you doing? That can be quite meaningful. So it's not nothing. It's not totally superficial. It does have some meaning, right? So from my perspective, I think we're more social today because a lot of our socializing is online, but we still socialize in the real world, of course. I don't think people have forgotten the importance of real world socializing yet. So that's my view. And I used the phrase there, from my perspective. You could try that when you express your opinion too. Feel free to leave your comments on the course page on Level Up English or on the podcast show notes. If you do leave it as a member on the course page, I will give you my feedback on your English if you like. Let's go to another one now. So a lot of these are quite similar here. I'm going to skip ahead to one that I feel quite strongly about. You might know this. Is it better to rent or buy a home? Better is a difficult word because this is a subjective question. Subjective means it's different for each person. It's different for each subject, right? For one person, it may be better to rent. For another person, it may be better to buy a house. Of course, this assumes that you can afford it because buying a house is expensive. And there are, of course, pros and cons to each one, good things and bad things. So as far as I'm concerned, people tend to put too much importance on buying a home, right? I think renting is seen as a really kind of negative thing in modern society. Like, oh, you rent? Oh, when are you going to buy a home? I feel that personally anyway. I feel there's a lot of pressure to move into the housing market, onto the housing market ladder, right? And I think there are many benefits of renting. So, you know, in the long run, you will maybe spend more money. If you're paying for your mortgage, that's the payments for your house that you pay to the bank each month, you're still paying money, but eventually you will own the house completely. So all of your money is going towards the ownership of your own home. So that's kind of a nice feeling, isn't it? If you're paying rent, you might even pay more money in some cases. And the money you're paying is getting you, you know, 1 month in your accommodation, but it's not giving you any future benefits. If you have to leave tomorrow, all of that money is gone. Whereas in a mortgage, at least you have bought a percentage of the house back, right? So that's one benefit there. However, what a lot of people don't consider, I believe, is the flexibility you get with renting. You might be spending more money. You might have a lot of other downsides as well. But I think renting can be so flexible because In most cases, if things go wrong, like the house just, the roof collapses for some reason, it's not your problem. Not really. You know, someone's going to fix it. You don't have to pay for that, hopefully. And for me, a huge benefit of renting is just the flexibility to change your plans. It's quite scary and a big deal to say, I'm going to have this house for many, many years, maybe my whole life. You know, what if I want to move in 5 years? What if I don't like this neighborhood? What if I get really bad neighbors, right? It's so freeing to be able just to pick up your stuff and move to a new place. I love that feeling personally, and there's a lot of benefits to that. So I like the idea that you're paying for the flexibility and the freedom. Like personally, I find owning a home, you get a lot of stress. If anything goes wrong, if some paint gets scratched, you have to think like, oh no, I've got to fix it. I've got to repair it. I've got to pay someone to do that. And with renting, you don't really have that so much. So there are pros and cons though. The one thing I will say in response to the other side is I feel like buying a home would be much better for older people. I can imagine as an elderly person, when I get there, hopefully one day, I would feel quite stressed renting a home. I would like to own a home so I know I'm not going to have to deal with moving. I'm not going to have to deal with the stress of picking up my life as an old person. It's nice to have somewhere where you can stay comfortably as an older person. So I can see some benefits with that too. Maybe you've got a home to pass down to your children one day, perhaps. So yeah, I have a mixed opinion here, but I like to argue in favor of renting just because not enough people do. But my opinion is fairly balanced for the most part. And the phrase I used at the beginning of this one is, as far as I'm concerned. That's another phrase meaning, in my opinion, as far as I'm concerned. So let me know your opinion on that, renting versus buying. I'd love to hear. Let's do a couple more of these general ones. This one may be controversial, but I have a clear opinion on this one. Should zoos exist? Zoos, like a place where you keep animals, exotic animals for entertainment. Should zoos exist? So it seems to me that a lot of zoos are in place, a lot of zoos exist purely for entertainment purposes. And you could argue perhaps educational as well. So a lot of people go to zoos, they pay money to visit zoos to see interesting animals. In my personal opinion, I don't think it's good. I don't think it's morally good to use animals for human entertainment. So, you know, I'm also against horse racing and things like that. I don't think it's right to use animals for entertainment in that way and use them as money. There may be cases, of course, where animals can be used for entertainment and we also get, you know, the animals also benefit from that as well. But in many cases, when money comes into the picture, the animals are, I feel like they're not often the priority. It's all about making money. You know, if a zoo, for example, stopped making money, would they keep running the zoo? Maybe not. Maybe not. Because how can you run the zoo without money? So money is, of course, always the priority of these places. I am, however, a big advocate of animal sanctuaries. These are distinct from zoos. They're different from zoos because these are where animals get to have a safe life. So these might be, for example, you know, one random example, monkeys are often illegally kept as pets. And when these monkeys are rescued from these illegal homes, illegal owners, they cannot be put back into the wild because they have become accustomed to, you know, being a pet. So that they wouldn't survive in the wild. So that they need a place to live safely with other monkeys where they can get looked after and have a happy life in a natural environment and not in someone's, you know, New York apartment. So there are places like that, like monkey sanctuaries, for example, and animals that are injured and sick. And I think these are fantastic. These are done with the animal's welfare as a priority. And many people can visit and their payment goes towards helping the animals. It's not about making a profit. I love these places. I'm really in favor of these kind of places because it's a win-win situation. We get to enjoy the animals and the animals get to have a good life and not, you know, not what they were like before. What I'm really against, though, is breeding animals just for the purpose of entertainment, especially when it's not even their natural habitat. If you think about like lions or tigers, I don't know, they're probably like running a huge, they probably cover a huge distance in one day. Elephants, I know elephants do lots of walking in the wild. And in zoos, they're kept in these relatively small places. They can't walk as much as they normally would. They're very confined. And to me, it just seems really cruel to keep healthy animals like that. And I personally don't go to zoos. So yeah, it seems to me that it's not a good idea and I don't agree. But let me know what you think. I'm always open to new ideas. The phrase I used here was, it seems to me that. So this really kind of means, yeah, I think that. At least from, you know, my perspective, this is what I think. It seems to me that. Let's go, I think we can skip ahead now to some deeper questions, maybe more advanced questions. So if you're finding the podcast a bit easy, I wonder if these will challenge your English listening even more. If it is too difficult for you, don't worry. I'm sure, I mean, you can always listen back in the future and it will be easier. You know, keep positive. This one's hard though. I love this question. Is the concept of free will an illusion? So just to explain here, free will is the idea that humans can make choices. We are free to make the choices we want. Like, will I have a hamburger or will I have a pizza? I can choose which one. Many people argue that this is an illusion, which means it seems like we have free will, but we actually don't. It's just a feeling, but we don't really have it. And some people love the idea, some people hate the idea. So I'm going to try to explain my opinion on this without shattering anyone's view of the world. It's just my opinion. I am of the opinion. That's a good phrase. I'm of the opinion that free will is, in fact, an illusion. My reasoning for this is, you know, I've read books on it. I've listened to podcasts on it. I've thought about it quite a lot, but definitely not an expert, you know, it's just something I'm interested in. But my reason is because all of our choices are based on prior circumstances. That means previous things that existed in our lives. And let me think of an example. I mean, one example is the words that we say. We don't know what we're going to say. When you're talking, words come out, but you don't really think about each word that's coming. It just kind of comes out. That's one interesting thing. So we don't really think about what words we're going to say. We feel like we do, but we're not. And of course, even if you do decide to say, actually, I'm not going to say this word. I'm going to say microphone. I decided to say microphone. But then why didn't I think of another word instead of microphone? You know, I didn't think of every single word in the English language. In my head, there were only a couple examples I could pick from. Microphone was one of them because it is right here in front of me. But I could have said window or wall. But yeah, I didn't think of all the words. So there's not a total freedom there because I can't pick every single word that exists. But here's another way to explain it. When a person makes a choice, that choice is influenced by many things in their past. Their upbringing, their parents, their friends, their culture, right? I find it a really interesting philosophical issue because it also makes you think about crime and punishment. Like if someone steals something, like they steal an item from a supermarket, you might say, oh, you were really bad to do that. You were so naughty to do that. But in some sense, you can think, well, they were born with the brain that made them think stealing is acceptable. They have the upbringing where maybe they had a really difficult upbringing where everyone around them was stealing things as well. And you know, maybe you can think, well, if I had the same upbringing as you, if I had your parents, if I had your friends, I think I would be stealing too. The only reason I'm not stealing is because I have had a different life experience. So I think it's very interesting. I actually really like the idea of no free will. It's quite freeing. It's quite relaxing in some way. But also it really helps me be compassionate with other people. When other people do things that I view as bad, rather than saying, you are a bad person, you can think, well, if I were in your shoes, I would do the same thing. It's a good expression there, by the way. If I were in your shoes, that means if I were you, if I had the same personality and position as you, right? If I were in your shoes, I would do the same. Yeah, and I also use that phrase, I am of the opinion. That's a nice formal way, kind of formal. I'm of the opinion that. That just means, in my opinion, it means I think. Another good one. Yeah, let me know. I have a feeling that some people might be annoyed at my opinion there. I don't know, but just my opinion, you know, take it with a pinch of salt, which means don't take it so literally. You don't have to agree with everything I'm saying, but I would love to hear your opinion. If you can share respectfully with me in the comments, let me know if you agree or disagree. It's an interesting one for sure, either way. Let me pick one more from my list here now. So some of them are a bit too spicy to touch. I don't want to get into trouble. Okay, we'll do three more. So is the rise of artificial intelligence a threat to humanity? So at the moment, it's hard to see why it would be. ChatGPT, well, it's just a messaging bot on your computer. It's not so scary, but I don't know. Have you seen Terminator? Have you guys seen that movie? Amazing movie series, by the way. If you haven't seen Terminator, they are amazing. I really recommend them. But it strikes me that AI is becoming increasingly intelligent and increasingly impressive and advanced. And it makes me think ahead to the future. Where will it go? And I'm kind of thinking about Terminator here a little bit. This gives you a hint about what happens in the Terminator movies, if you haven't seen it. But I think a lot of advancements in technology always come from war, unfortunately. Maybe it's a silver lining of war, right? One of the few silver linings that there's a lot of violence in the world, but lots of technological progress comes from war, because I think there's many inventions that have come from the military that are now used in everyday life. I've heard that before. I can't think of an example, but I've heard that. And I think AI might be one of these, perhaps, where it may be used in the military. And like, it sounds really sad and dystopian. Dystopian means like a negative futuristic situation, like a negative life. It sounds very dystopian and horrible, but you can see why it would be beneficial. If you have like a rocket with artificial intelligence, rather than just killing anyone in the area, maybe it can target only the bad guys, right? So it can reduce civilian deaths, and you know, maybe rockets could be more accurate than people in targeting, you know, whoever they're trying to target. It's not nice talking about anyone getting killed, but I guess in war, this is what happens, isn't it? So I guess in some sense, you might see that as a positive thing. If it reduces the death of innocent people, you can see why it would happen, basically. But then if you've seen Terminator, you know where this can go wrong. If artificial intelligence gets very smart, it might find, you know, shortcuts to achieve its goal. If it can make its own choices and decisions, like you can give it an end goal, and it will decide the path to take to get there. So you might give the AI a goal of ending the war. Let's end the war. And then the AI decides, okay, we have calculated the quickest way to end the war is to kill all humans. Right? This is Terminator, really, isn't it? And it's technically, it's correct, right? That is the quickest way to end it. Without humans, there would be no more war. So that could be a good thing. But of course, robots and AI, they don't think like people do. So I don't know, this might sound like science fiction. It might sound far-fetched, which means kind of not realistic. It might sound too far. But I don't know, if you can imagine the future, if you can imagine 50 years, 100 years from now, and then also think about 100 years before, how much has changed? Even just look at AI like ChatGPT and other AI software. We've got AI now that can make music and make artwork. Even 10 years ago, that was crazy to think about. So where will it be in 50 years' time? I think it's not too far to believe to think that way. So yes, it strikes me that AI could indeed be a threat. I think we have to be very careful with how we progress. People often say that AI will either answer all our problems or make all the problems or be a really big problem, basically. So it could be really good or it could be really bad. It's really hard to say and it's very risky, isn't it? But anyway, let me know your opinion on the AI topic. I would love to know that one as well. A little bit negative here, I think I'm going to end on a positive one, on my last one here. I'll do a quick one now. Oh, I forgot to say, I used the phrase just now. It strikes me that. So if something strikes you, it kind of seems to me that. Oh, it strikes me that this is bad. It seems to me that this is bad. That's a good phrase for you to use. It strikes me that. Okay, next one. Should the concept of national borders be abolished? Abolished means removed, gone. So in other words, we would have one big global country with no borders. Maybe we can still have, you know, England and Scotland and France and Spain, but maybe they wouldn't be borders. So you can cross over without a passport and without any checks. That would be a huge change to the world, wouldn't it? I've met some people who believe this should happen. And honestly, when I was a young teenager, I thought this should happen. And I thought it would be a good thing. However, these days, I hold the belief that it may do more harm than good. I'm sure someone smarter than me could explain exactly why this would be a bad idea. Or maybe it could be good. I don't know. But I mean, it just means dangerous people as well can travel freely, which is quite scary to think about. And I don't know if, you know, governments would have to be reorganized, I imagine, to like one global government. I'm not sure how that would work, but I don't know. It just seems to me that, I don't know, how can I put it into words? Like, no borders? It sounds amazing in one hand that you can travel anywhere you want, total freedom, that would be fantastic. But would it work? That's the question. One thing that I would be worried about, maybe this is a small thing, but I think it's quite important, is local cultures. I think one thing that border restrictions do is preserve the culture of a country. You know, look at Japan, for example. They were closed to foreigners for centuries, for hundreds of years. And I believe that is why their culture is so distinct and unique, because they've held on to their culture so strongly and they haven't had much influence in history from other cultures. Whereas if you look at the UK, there's a lot of British culture that can be spoken about, but because we have, you know, historically been so open to other cultures as well, other countries, other nationalities, that we're much more mixed than we used to be. And the culture of the UK is a little bit less clearly defined than other countries. But yeah, I kind of worry that if borders were abolished, then the whole world would feel a little bit too much the same. You know, I mean, it already is in some way, right? There's McDonald's and Starbucks in all the countries, and kind of what's that called? The word has slipped my mind. Capitalism is that what I'm thinking of? I forgot. I think some of you know what I'm thinking of, but that's an example of consumerism. That's the word, consumerism. Consumerist culture, that things are spreading around like that. Maybe Americanization, Westernization, these are other words that are related. But anyway, I think I'll leave my response there. I don't really know what else I could say about it, but I think it is a bit scary to abolish other borders. But if you have an argument against me, I'd love to hear what you have to say. And I also just said, I hold the belief, that's a good phrase to use. Again, just means I believe that. I hold the belief that this would be a bad thing. Finally, I'll try to end on a positive note. Is human overpopulation a significant threat to the planet? So, overpopulation is too many people in the world. Will it be a problem? I have to say no. I'm inclined to believe that it will not be a problem. It has been worried about, you know, people have worried about this becoming a problem for many years, many decades. But as far as I've heard, it seems to me that it's trending in the opposite direction. How many people do we have on Earth now? Global population. We have 8.1 billion people. It's actually just below 8.1 billion, but it's very, very close. So that's exciting. A lot's happening. But from what I've heard on different projections, it looks like the global population of the world will peak. That means that the highest amount peak at around 10 million or before 10 million. Some people have said 9 million as well. And then it will slowly start to decrease. And we already see this in many countries around the world. Speaking of Japan, if I go on Google, if we look at the Japanese population, it looks like they peaked in, what year is this? 2008. They had 128 million. And since then, they have been very slowly decreasing. And now they have 125 million. So they've lost a couple million in the... Actually, that was a couple years ago. But yeah, I think a lot of countries are similar. They're trending downwards. There's some countries that are still increasing, but the rate of the increase is slowing. And, you know, a lot of countries are expected to lose population over the next 50 years. So it seems to me, from what I've heard, that it will not be a big problem. And in fact, the opposite may be a problem. We might have an underpopulation problem where we've got a large proportion of older people and not enough younger people to support the older generations. That could be a big problem in itself. So that's what I've heard. If you're worried about overpopulation, maybe you can, maybe, I don't know if that makes you feel a bit happier or not, but either way, that's what I've heard from people much smarter than myself. And finally, the phrase I used here was, I'm inclined to believe. So this is, they're all really similar. It just means I tend to believe, I feel like I want to believe this one. I'm inclined to believe this. It doesn't mean I strongly believe. It just means I think this is true. I'm inclined to believe that it's not a threat. Okay, let's finish there. Let's stop with that one. I will end with a quote in just a second. I do want to say a quick thank you to some nice comments I got on Spotify on episode 258, a very popular episode about my big mistakes that I made. And I hope I haven't read these before, but we've got a few good ones from Hanen Belhaded, who said, amazing episode, as usual. So thank you very much. That's very kind of you. Another one from, the name looks familiar here, but I don't know if I read it. Morka Louisa, who says, thank you so much for sharing. I love it. Thank you very much. I love that you're watching or listening. One from Stephen. I never know how you pronounce this surname. I think it's Vietnamese. Nguyen? Nguyen, maybe? I'm sure my Vietnamese listeners will correct me. But Stephen says, hopefully you'll be able to quickly bounce back from the costly mistakes. All the best. And one final one here from Rowena Q, who says, OMG, Michael, this story is full of mistakes. Do you know I have the same personality as yours? Like being afraid to ask someone for help. I always feel nervous about it. Yeah, we're the same. It's a big problem, isn't it? So yeah, thank you for you leaving comments and thank you to anyone else. I cannot read all the comments. I've got quite a few, but really appreciate all of them. I read all of them anyway. Even if I don't read them on the podcast, I see all of them. So thank you for responding positively. Okay, so the quote now is from Margaret Heffernan. For good ideas and true innovation, you need human interaction, conflict, argument, debate. I think this is a nice one. So don't be afraid to argue and debate. Don't be afraid to listen to debates, even on topics that you might disagree with, because this is how we learn. This is how we improve. And this is how we find out what ideas are good and bad. So yeah, nice quote there from Margaret Heffernan. I will leave it here for today. So thank you for listening. I tried to make a short one, but looks like I failed. Thanks again, and I will see you next time. You have been listening to the Level Up English podcast. If you would like to leave a question to be answered on a future episode, then please go to levelupenglish.school/podcast. That's levelupenglish.school/podcast. And I'll answer your question on a future episode. Thanks for listening.